I was seeking God, not because I love him, not because I want to preach, but I want to show to people that we get power. And the power I'm talking about is showmanship. Until God begins to extreme my heart. And God begins to bring me into relationships. I begin to meet men of God. One of them, Dr. Noel Woodruff, from Trinidad and Tobago. I begin to hear pure word of God. And I begin to, you know, there are people you hear. They will begin to speak something that has been burning in your heart that you couldn't have expression for it. Has this happened to you? Now, you are hearing something and you could identify with it that this is it. But you cannot actually express it. That was my experience. Then my motive started getting corrected. And then I said, I can't continue this way. I said, I cannot. And that's how my life begins to, the ministry, my life begins to take a new turn. So when I see these younger ones, I just laugh. Because they don't know I've been there. Trying to play to the gallery. So I just, in my heart, I just smile. There's something called deeper. There's something more, much more than all these things. And when you talk about loving his appearance, you can't say you love his appearance and you live anyhow. Huh? I've been married for 18 years. It will be 18 years by August 13th. Huh? I know you have been married too, sir. You know, this one just married, so he may not understand what I'm talking about. The love is shocking him. I'm just kidding. You know, at times, me, I want to get hungry. I'm hungry, and I want to keep malice with my wife for 1 week, not talk to her. Yes, tempted. But by the time you do some few hours, the Holy Ghost begins to trouble your heart. And because you want to please him, you look for a way to, you know the way you look. My wife is very good at that. If you are waiting for my wife to say, I'm sorry. But she can go and come back and bring and buy shawarma. I see maybe I ask you for shawarma. Or come back and come and pound yam to her. Is the way of saying, I'm actually sorry for what I did. Are you understand what I'm talking about? You can't love his appearing and then you live anyhow. It's not possible. And that's why 1 John chapter 3, I think for verse 1, it says that what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And he said, it has not yet appeared what we shall be. He said, but we know that when it shall appear, we shall what? We shall be like him. And then he said in verse 3, he said, those who have this hope must what? Purify themselves. Now, the word purify doesn't mean that we can't make ourselves pure. We have been made pure by the grace of God. You understand? But what we are expected to do is to keep ourselves pure. Do you understand that? Yeah. We can. We are made pure by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I didn't make myself pure. He made me pure. Do you understand that? But what we are challenge from scriptures is to keep ourselves pure. Do you know why? Because we still live in the world. So because sin, world can defile us. So because of defilement, I keep myself pure. You know, how do you behave when you put on white clothes? Sparkling, clean, shining. Eh? You know what I remember? Was it last year, Immortality Readiness Conference? Was it last year, Immortality Readiness, or 2 years ago? I think it was last year. Was it 2 years ago? I can't remember. No, 2 years ago. 2 years ago. The Sunday after the conference, the Sunday I was going to church, so I put on white. So I booked a boat. I sat in front. Because of the white, the man said, I said, no, I can't put seatbelt. I said, I don't know how this your seatbelt is. In Lagos. Everybody say Lagos. We've not driven some kilometers before those people stopped us. By the time I sat, I started, but it was too late. Church, I didn't meet up. They arrested the guy. So I felt so guilty that how will I leave the guy here when I know I was, because he actually told me to put on my seatbelt. But because I was putting on white, I was trying to keep myself from being stained because I don't know how clean the belt is. You understand what I'm talking about? So we can't make ourselves pure, but we have to keep ourselves. And that's why we keep ourselves from some certain friends, because they can actually defile us. So we keep ourselves from some certain music. Even though we love those music, we love the way they sound. But if we pay attention to them, they can defile our heart. And so because of that, I choose to go away. Why? I love him. What to share is so deep, sir. Because love is everything. It's everything. Hallelujah. Now, in that Romans chapter 5, I see two kind of motivation for joy here. Number one motivation that I'm seeing in verse 2. He said, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand, we rejoice in hope of his glory. So I'm rejoicing in hope of his glory. Now look at this. The hope of his glory is the same thing as his appearing. It's the same thing, just different terminology. Now, when the Bible talks about the hope of salvation, it's the same thing. We are saved in hope. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? So, we rejoice in hope. Because when he comes back, we're going to have a level of glory that we have not seen before. Christ is coming with a level of glory that have not been seen before. So his coming is the coming of the revelation of his glory. And it's also hope for us. And so we rejoice in hope. But that's not my issue this afternoon. But he said we also rejoice. Verse 3, say not only that, but we also glory or rejoice in tribulation. Knowing, that's very important. So why will I be going through difficult times, difficult moments, and I'm rejoicing? So you see that the challenges the believer goes through, those pressure that we talked about, shouldn't make us feel bad. When your friends make you feel that you are old school because you want to keep yourself pure. Because you want to keep yourself pure, like the brother you're talking about, when a friend makes me believe that it's wickedness not to help. I attended the Bible school, and then I'm in Bible school. Everybody say Bible school. And the day of the exam, pastor, sir. Pastor. Eh? General overseer of the church brought his book and he was writing. He was writing. Huh? And I see believers. And I'm wondering, I said, what's happening here? A friend of mine was actually begging me. Say, please now. And when we finished, he was so angry. I said, you come. Very good friend. He said, you call me your friend. I'm even asking, just begging, just help me. Are you trying to be the first? You know, at a point, I started feeling so, he's not making me feel as if, have I done something wrong? You know, at times, the world makes us look foolish. It makes us, at times, look like mumu. We are all queuing up, and somebody comes, pay money, and the person has gone, and he left us there. The Bible says, when we go through trials, what should we do? We should rejoice. And he said, rejoice, knowing. So my rejoicing is born out of a knowledge. Now, I'm teaching you how to handle, because friends, we're going to see, we saw it yesterday. It's appointed to us, for us to suffer. We have appointment with suffering. Hello. We saw it in scripture now. Paul said that, you know you have been appointed to these things. We have an appointment with suffering. Whether you like it or not, believe it. But that's what the Bible says. And because we have an appointment with suffering and troubles of this world, we must know how to deal with it. But the Bible said, even though I have an appointment with, when I see it, what do? I rejoice, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. It's the same word that means endurance. And the endurance, character. So not only in glory, so not only will I rejoice in glory, in what is coming, I also rejoice in what? In trials, in difficulties. Why? Because I know that because of what it produces, it produces endurance. And then endurance. So you see here, we are supposed to rejoice because of what we know, and because what is it that we know? That tribulation produces endurance. So let's look at James. This is, let's look at one example here. In Acts chapter 5, from verse 40, because of time, we may not read it. Remember, Peter and John, they were flogged. For what? For preaching the gospel. What did they do when they were flogged? Let's read verse 41. Let's read verse 40 and 41. The others accepted his advice. They called in the apostle and had flogged them. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. The apostles left the high council where they were flogged, rejoicing. Huh? Come, let me flog you. Let me see whether you rejoice or laugh. Now, the flogging here is not when they flog in, though, it's not the kind of cane we use this day. They flog them. But instead of crying, instead of feeling sad, that God, why did you do this to us? We thought you would deliver us, but you should have come and sent your angel to set us free from their hand. Why did you allow them to flog us? No, the Bible said they rejoice. That God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus Christ. What informed their rejoicing? Their knowledge. James. You know, I also saw Paul here. When Paul was stoned, I mentioned that yesterday, and the Bible says he was stoned and then dragged out of the city, left dead. They thought he was dead though. You know, recently I think this. Do you know what it means that they stone someone? Huh? No, it's not the normal, all this small stone, no. That's not the kind of stone they use, though. Big stone. This one is showing that you are blocking it. This one is showing you are blocking. This one is showing you are blocking. So when he couldn't block again, I don't know whether Paul pretended, though, or he was actually dead. But the Bible says when brethren gathered around him, he woke up. Ah, please. I don't know whether I can get that. And the Bible says the next day. Ah. The next day, after being stoned, left dead, the next day, Paul went back to what he was stoned for. He went back to preaching. Now, if it is the next day, do you know how his face, his body will have been disfigured? The bruises on his body. Then it means that these people know something that we don't know in suffering. They know something that we don't know in trials. James chapter 1. I will stop once my time is up. James chapter 1 from verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, NLT, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble come your way, consider it an opportunity for what? Great joy. Look at it again, the word, verse 3. For you know. Now the question, do I really know? The Bible says, by knowledge shall the just be delivered. So what do I know? Do I really know? Because since we have settled it, friends, that we have an appointment. I love the way I'm using it because that's what the Bible says. Since we have, in fact, what I'm trying to say, we have been destined for such things. Since we already know that we have an appointment with suffering. Huh? I know some of you, all this faith movement, in your heart, you are saying, no, God forbid. This is heresy. But we read it yesterday. That for you to enter the kingdom of God, you must suffer. We saw it. So we know that when your faith is what? Is tested. Your what? Endurance has a chance to what? To grow. So you see, from the Apostle Paul and then James, they are saying the same thing. That suffering, trials, difficult things of life, what does it do to us? It helps us to what? Develop endurance. Okay? Now, I ask this question when I was reading this. Yes, I know we need to rejoice because that it develops endurance. But what is actually in it that we need to rejoice about? What exactly in it? Please sit right. What exactly in it? Why do I rejoice? Because I know. So what exactly is in me that I need to rejoice about? Now listen to this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Jesus said, he that will endure to the end shall be what? Shall be saved. Right? And he that endure to the end shall be what? The one who endures to the end shall be saved. Which means that endurance is one of the virtues that I need to get to the end. If I'm desiring, looking forward to his appearing, then I need endurance to get there. Hello? The ability to continue. regardless of pressure. The ability not to shake, even if every person me are compromising. The ability to remain strong and to keep holding on and to keep a firm grab of faith, even if everything around me is saying no. The ability to still make sure that I dress decently, even if it is becoming, you know, it's becoming a trend to be indecent in dressing. Indecency become is now becoming a what? A trend. To the point that you do not cover your body. You are not looking like an old school. And do you know why? Do you know what? We've not even seen anything. Are you listening to me? No, you have not seen indecency. I know you have. We've not seen the peak. Because it will come to a point that being naked, just wearing pants and bra, will not become fashion. So I need endurance. If I must get to the end, the Bible says endurance is one of the must to get to the end. Right? We are looking at why do I need to rejoice? Now, let's go back to Acts 14:22. Acts 14:22. Look, let's have verse 21 so that we can read it in context. Verse 21, please. After preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and then Antioch of Pisidia, where they strengthened the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that they must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So which means that we cannot enter the kingdom of God without suffering many hardships. Is that correct? Is that correct? So we cannot enter without many hardships. But we read in Matthew 24, verse 13, that for us to be able to enter despite of many hardships, what do we need to do? We need to endure. Right? That we need to endure. So I'm praying, Lord, help me to endure. Lord, give me the strength, the ability to endure to the end. You know, we pray that prayer. Lord, help me. I pray that prayer. Lord, help me. Give me the because I've come to realize that endurance is a necessity for me to get to the end, the ability to continue. So this is it. And God, in order to answer my question, in order for God to answer my question, he brings hardship. He allowed difficulties. He allowed all those things in my life because that is what is needed for me to develop endurance. Remember what we read in Romans chapter? He said we rejoice in trials because we know that trials produces endurance. So what produces endurance? So what I'm seeing here is that in the wisdom of God, the same thing that the enemy thought for my downfall or for making me to stop holding on to faith, in the wisdom of God, is the same thing that God is using to develop what I need to get to him at the end. Are we together? The same thing. The same thing, sir. So what I call suffering in the plan of God, In the perspective of God, they are not suffering. They are raw materials that he allowed to develop endurance. Can you give me, it's not in my notes, give me Judges chapter 3 from verse 1. I want to show you something. You know what the Bible says? The prince of this world, if they have known, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. Are you seeing the wisdom of God? Now, if the devil was actually wise, what he would have done was to leave Jesus Christ alone. Because Jesus can't crucify himself. Devil would have tried not to enter into Judas to betray Jesus. If devil have done that, he would have defeated Jesus Christ on the cross. I mean, because there would not even be any cross. But because he didn't know. Judges chapter 3 from verse 1. Look at this. He said, these are the nations that the Lord, listen to this, beloved, that the Lord left in the land. Now, the nation here are their enemies. The enemy that they met in that land that they were supposed to conquer. But Bible says God left the nations in the land to what? To test those Israelites who had no experience in the wars of Canaan. The next verse. He did this to teach warfare to that generation of Israelites who have no experience in battle. So when God allowed their enemy to be with them, to sit still around, he didn't kill them. You are praying that they should die, but God left them. You know, and that's why some of this prayer doesn't get answered. How many times have you been praying that they should die, and they refuse to die? You say, let them die by fire, die by fire. But they are 20 years, they are still living. But he didn't know that. In his wisdom, he left them to teach you warfare. He left them. God said he left them. Because you are seeing inexperience. But you need to be harmed. So for him to train you to be harmed, he left your enemy. Are we together? So the thing that we see as difficulties, the challenges of life that is so overwhelming, are the raw materials. Let me close with this. I have less than 3 minutes more. I will not be tempted to ride on. I was not asking to put the time. I also have to subject myself to it also. So sorry, I will not ride on. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 16. Quickly, please. Please listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 16. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For look at this. For our present troubles are what? Small, not just small, and wouldn't last very long. So do we have troubles? You know, he said our present troubles. So we have troubles. He said our present troubles are very small, are small, and wouldn't last very long. Yet, they produce for us. Now, what is producing for us? The troubles. A glory that vastly outweighs them. Can you give me from the New King James? I love the... verse 17. It says, for our light affliction. I love this one. He call it affliction. Because we have always believed that believers don't get afflicted. I'm going to show you from scripture. Don't worry. After your meal, I saw something from scripture that shocked me, sir. Let me give you a taste, then we'll come back to this scripture. And I will just give you, I can't continue this reading. We'll come back. The things Job suffered, who allowed it? Sir, do you know that I've heard people say that Job suffered because there was a fear in his life? That because he was nursing it, because Job himself said, the things I fear most has happened to me. I've had preachers say Job suffered because he was not a child of God, he was a servant of God. What are the things that Job suffered? He lost 7 of his children. And the Bible says, yet he was a man who feared God. Lost 7 of his children. In a day, sir. Love all his property. Do you know that if a child of God loses a child today, we'll think probably he didn't have faith enough.